The Washington Redskins have announced that they will be changing their team name after a decades-long fight with indigenous groups who say the name is offensive. Michael Lindsay, a partner at Dorsey & Whitney, worked on the original case that proved more than a decade ago that the Washington team's trademark was disparaging to Native Americans. And I'm joined now by Michael Lindsay. Mr. Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, I just wanted to start, I guess, by getting your initial thoughts on the fact that the Washington NFL team has finally agreed to change the name. I mean, it took civil unrest over the senseless killings of people of color here in the U.S., which is happening in the midst of a global pandemic. And finally, team owner Dan Snyder has decided to make the change. So first off, were you surprised at all by the news when it came down? And is this some vindication for you as someone who has worked on this file for an extensive period of time?
I was not surprised by the news that they were dropping the name, but that's because they had previewed that by announcing that it was under review. The remarkable thing is really that it took them only a week to complete the review. We spent a lot of years developing a plentiful record for them from which there was just no two ways about it. The team's name was a racial slur.
And how critical of a move is this to see a team in one of the major North American sports league take this step? And what kind of trickle-down effect do you think that this will have as a result? I mean, we've already heard other teams that are planning to take similar steps or at least conduct similar reviews to what Washington did. We've seen some amateur teams that have been changing their names to be more respectful and inclusive prior to this. But having a major franchise make this move, and probably the one team that has received the most criticism about its name take this step, I imagine this is kind of a monumental move in terms of people making sure they are being respectful when making these and deciding upon these monikers.
It is indeed, and you've actually hit on a key point that what we're talking about here is just a matter of simple respect. There is no reason to use your team name a racial slur, and that's just inexcusable. The fact that they've been doing it for a long time, almost 90 years, just means they've been disparaging people for 90 years, and that's nothing to be proud of. Other teams have, and I should say that there are some trickle-downs already happening. There was a suburban Ohio school that about a month ago finally dropped its name. It had the same name. It had shared it originally with Miami University of Ohio, which dropped the name, I don't know, back in the 90s, I think. And so I expect to see that continuing, because if the leader in the NFL with that name drops it, that will communicate a message to everyone else that is using at the same kind of racial slur. Now, that is different from what other teams have. You think about the Cleveland Indians, the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City Chiefs. Those teams are using words that basically make into team mascots a recognizable living community of human beings. But they are not also racial slurs. You know, those are words that are descriptive of Native Americans, but they don't go the next step that the Washington team's name had always gone. I expect, though, that now that we've seen a team that's willing to drop a name that is both a racial slur and a mascotting of human beings, we can expect to see other people saying, all right, our name may not be a slur, but it's still offensive, and we think it's time to change. I do expect at least some of the teams in the sporting world to make that kind of decision.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. I think like I was saying, having one of the major teams, especially the one that has been most highly criticized about it, take this step, I think is good leadership for other groups, especially in smaller leagues that will probably follow suit. What are the legal and commercial implications of this decision for other brands? Is there any?
No, anyone has the legal right to change their branding at any time they want. They have to figure out where, you know, if you're going to drop one brand and move to another, you want to make sure that you find one that is readily protectable under the trademark laws. So that does create some legal challenges for a company that is trying to change its brand. But nothing stops you from diminishing the use of a brand or even abandoning it altogether.
One of the things, too, that I saw you were quoted as talking about was the issue of mascotting, and you brought it up here briefly when talking about, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Atlanta Braves, for example, and just how, you know, the mascots are representative of individuals or groups of people, and it's not so much the names of the teams themselves that are the problem, but really the mascot is still somewhat offensive. I mean, do you see this maybe having also implications on that regard and having people who are in charge of the marketing for these teams maybe take a different approach to how they go about doing it? Because I imagine a lot of them, I mean, we've seen how long it took for Washington to change its name. I can't imagine all these teams are going to start changing their name, but maybe they want to change the way they brand themselves a little bit in terms of that mascotting.
Yeah, and that is a good thing. The Cleveland team, I think it was last year, finally dropped their ridiculously offensive Chief Wahoo logo, you know, that shows a Native American with a big nose. You could change the features on that kind of image and be mocking or insulting any number of races or ethnicities, and it's wonderful that they did drop that last year. But that's what they can control. The only thing they can control is what they do. There's a further issue with mascotting, which is it becomes part of a shared identity for your fandom. And don't get me wrong, shared identity is a wonderful thing. Fans want to be part of their team. It becomes part of who they are, and that's great. But it can also lead to fan behavior, which is difficult to control, if not impossible. And think about the tomahawk chop with the Atlanta Braves. That is making a mockery of Native Americans and basically depicting them as savages who are going out to get scalps, things like that. That is not who Native Americans are, if ever. It certainly is not who they are today, but it's perpetuating a stereotype. And it's very hard for a firm or a company or a sports team that creates that kind of environment, it's hard for them to control what their fans then do in the environment. The better course is to avoid having a mascot that can be misused either by the company or team itself or by their fans. You know, I'll give you an example. My high school mascot was the Blue Jays. My law school mascot was the Maroons. Those are clearly not offensive to anyone. My college mascot was the Warriors. Now, that's not an inherently derogatory term. It doesn't even necessarily refer to Native Americans, but I can tell you that is how the cheer squad for the team portrayed it. That's how fans perceived it. And my college finally dropped that name back in the 1990s.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah, because I would never necessarily associate the word Warriors with that, but I guess when it comes to the way your fans act and behave and associate their behaviors with that team name, that's really what we're talking about here, right? And that's something that is not really up to the sports team or organization to control. I mean, they have a role to play in it, but it still comes down to being able to change the behaviors of fans, which will take, you know, many years, I would think, to weed some of that kind of stuff out.
What are you going to do if a fan shows up with a Hollywood Indian wardrobe or pantomime some kind of mock war dance? You know, why do we think that anything like this is different from blackface? Would you ever want to have your fans showing up in blackface? It's just as offensive when it's a different minority community.
Going back to Washington specifically, I imagine you've seen the comments from people who are very upset about the fact that they are changing their name, right? They have a long history associated with being a fan of the Washington NFL team, and they really want to see the name stay the same, and they're so upset that it's going to change. What do you think is going to happen when people show up to games? I mean, it's probably not going to happen here in 2020 since people aren't really going to be allowed to visit stadiums and see sports in person, but, you know, come 2021, hopefully we're allowed to see sports again live and in person. I imagine there's still going to be people showing up, you know, dressed as that Native American mascot and really promoting the fact that, you know, they're a fan of the Redskins and they're not a fan of whatever this new Washington team name is, although they're still supporting it. How does that, I guess, evolve? I mean, what sorts of things does the team have to do in that kind of environment to change the behaviors of fans? And I guess, is it up to fans maybe to police themselves?
Well, first of all, there's always going to be some amount of inappropriate human behavior. We can never achieve 100% compliance, at least not in any kind of society that the rest of us would want to live in. But I hope that the team will take that into account and try to encourage its fans to adopt the new shared identity. And the a team can do that by promoting sales of new merchandise. And remember, there's an economic opportunity here for the Washington team. People who want to be part of the team going forward and want to have the new shared identity, or I should say it's not new, it's an evolution of that same shared identity, they're going to need merchandise. And that's something that the Washington team can profit off.
Well, Michael, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. It's something I've had an interest in. I've been, you know, wondering why it's taken this long to finally get to this point. But we're here now, and I think it's an important step here, just in the ability to respect all cultures.
I agree. The Dorsey firm took this case up in the 1990s, but the issue dates back decades before. You could go back to the mid-1960s and mm-hmm. find people begging the Washington team to change its name. And it is a wonderful day that has finally arrived, that the Washington team has chosen at least to abandon this racial stereotype, this racial slur, and I hope that they will choose a name that really will be an honor to that team's long tradition.
Well, thank you so much for your time here, Michael. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Michael Lindsay, a partner at Dorsey & Whitney, which worked on the original case that proved more than a decade ago that the Washington NFL team's trademark was disparaging to Native Americans. Mr. Lindsay works out of the firm's head office, which is stationed in Minneapolis, Minnesota.